So yesterday, drivers of Uber and Lyft went on strike. Not all of them, but just about a lot of them, almost all of them. Yeah. They want better wages, more insurance, ice cream for free. They want free movie tickets, a discount on early bird specials at many local restaurants. They want a lot of stuff. They want a lot of stuff. So I guess yesterday a lot of people had to take regular taxi cabs. Oh my God, can you handle it? How archaic that is. Let's go back to the frontier days. I've only been in an Uber once in my entire life, and I didn't like it because I felt very uncomfortable getting into somebody else's car, especially in those cars these days where as soon as the driver hits the gas, the doors lock. You can't get out. I don't like that feeling. I'm in somebody else's car. They're driving. I'm stuck in the back, and the door locks click on. I mean, not exactly a feeling of security. I don't like it. When I was younger, people were hitchhiking. They would stand on the side of the road, stick their thumbs out, and mass murderers would stop and pick them up and bring them to wherever they were going anyway. That was always that was always the funny thing. You know, there'd be a hitchhiker. Yeah, I'm in New York. We're in New York right now, but I'm going to California. Can you help me out? Sure, I'm going to California. Get on in. No, you're not going to California. This is just wrong. And a lot of people disappeared. Or where's Joe? I haven't seen him in a week. Oh, he was hitchhiking. Okay, yeah. So much for Joe, I suppose, huh? What's the difference between hitchhiking and getting in an Uber? It's $25. That's the only difference. Other than that, it's exactly the same.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much, thank you.
Hold on tight, right. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. I actually have a few friends who are Uber drivers. And when I say friends, that's always air quotes around the friends thing because I've lost the definition of what friends actually means. The only definition of friends that I understand is that television show, Friends, which I thoroughly enjoyed, actually. Yeah, but I have some people that I know, air quotes, who who are Uber drivers, and they're perfectly fine people. I still wouldn't get in their cars. Hello, my name is John. I'll be your Uber driver. Hop into the back seat. Just remove the hypodermic needles. Just kick them on the floor and relax, and I'll take you to wherever you want to go. Where do you want to go? California? Sure. I used to live in New York, and I took taxi cabs quite frequently, and I never got the feeling of being trapped or any type of danger. The only danger was the way that the taxi cab drivers drove. They're amazing. They go like 90 miles an hour in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I still don't know how they do that. But it was an amazing driving feat. These people should be NASCAR drivers. But anyway, I never felt insecure or like they were going to drive me to a tunnel in New Jersey and take my clothes off and have their way with me. I never felt that way about them. That's because most of the drivers had no vowels in their names, but that's besides the point. But Uber drivers, I got to tell you, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I'm insecure about that. I don't understand the term ride sharing. I don't want to share my ride. Why would I want to share my ride? Why would I want to get in a car with even more strangers than the initial stranger thing? Do you ever hear the term when you're growing up, stranger danger? This is the personification of that. I don't know. I the only thing that I can see that distinguishes an Uber car from a car that is not an Uber is a little sticker in the back window that says Uber. I mean, I can't. It's not enough of a distinction for me, because I could go on my printer there and I could make a little sign that says Uber and stick it on the back of my car and start picking people up. They'd never know. It's not good. I don't like it. Now, that's just me. See, I don't, you know, you're different. I know you're different. I can tell you're different. You look different. So, yeah, do what you want, but not for me. Sorry, no. Bye. Can't do it. Mm-mm, not me. Ain't going to happen. So, that was yesterday with the Uber and the Lyft people. I think the only way to get them all in one place is to have them strike, and that way you can say, okay, there's all the Uber people there. All those people, right? How did the Uber people get home, by the way? I mean, what if you're doing a protest and you're walking back and forth on a picket line in the middle of a city, and now, all right, we're going to go home. That was our strike for today. Wait a minute. How the hell are we going to get home? We don't have our people here. I think they all have their own cars, so I guess that works out. I don't know. Anyway, enough about that subject. Thanks for being here. How are you? I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. I've been doing this for 30 freaking years. I know. I'm not even 30 years old yet. I did this in the womb. I wheelie did. 30 years I've been doing this, and I just realized today I'm damn sick of it. I realized, wait a minute, I'm doing this for so long, for decades and decades and decades, I'm sick of it. Hey, wait a minute. No, I'm not sick of it. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Lord, oh God. Every once in a while, I go to a cocktail lounge. I know that term is outdated, but I like the term because bar sounds so pedestrian. Where are you going? Down the bar. Oh, what are you going to order? A bottle of tequila? You know, just walk into the bar. Hey, bartender, put a bottle down in a shot glass. I'll see you in 20 minutes. You know, bar doesn't sound good. So I say cocktail lounge, because cocktail lounge, you have soft music in the background, people dressed up wearing cocktail dresses and tuxedos, little pieces of vegetables in a martini glass. You know, that's fancy. I'll go with cocktail lounge. So sometimes I'll go to a cocktail lounge. And I order a drink because, like, what the hell else are you going to do in a cocktail lounge? Have your laundry done? No. They have drinks there. That's the purpose of the place. So I'll order a cocktail. And it's amazing to me the prices of things in a bar cocktail lounge. It's kind of amazing. Here's a person. This is a wonderful job, by the way. If you drive an Uber, stop it. Become a bartender. Here's what they do. The customer comes in, sits down, and the bartender says, "What can I get you?" Ooh, probing question. And the customer says, "I'll have a beer. I'll have a Heineken." The bartender reaches over into an ice chest or something, pulls out a bottle of Heineken, takes a bottle opener, flips open the top of the bottle, and puts the beer in front of the person, and their job is done. Wow. Guess what? I can do that. Does it require years of training? No, it requires a bottle opener. That's all you do. It's amazing. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I just sat down at the bar. I asked for a beer. You bring the bottle open over. You open the bottle, and I'm supposed to give you money and tip you? I'm not getting this at all. Yeah, I'm not either. But it's a service job, so yeah, someone has to pay for the electricity, the rent, so you can sit there and drink the damn beer. Here's the funny thing. Did you ever go out to lunch in a restaurant? Raise your hand if you have. Can't believe you're raising your hand. That's so stupid. I can't see you do. Why are you bothering doing that? Oh, you're so suggestive. Hey, so, yeah, so I got a cocktail. I'm ordering lunch at a bar. And how much of the lunch is? Oh, we got a hamburger like for $11. We got a chicken sandwich for $12. You know, have a personal pizza for $12. All right, I'll have the, give me a chicken sandwich. You want fries on the side? Yeah, give me some fries on the side. Okay, that's $12, and we'll ring you up there. Or anything to drink? Yeah, give me a vodka on the rocks or something, you know, with a splash of soda. Okay, how much is that? That's $13. Wait a minute now. This doesn't make sense to me. The sandwich and the fries, all that food, the requirement of having somebody in your kitchen put that together, fry up the chicken, assemble it on the plate, make the fries, put that on the plate, and all that, that's the same price as you walking over there, grabbing a glass, pouring some vodka and soda into it, and giving the glass to me. That's the same price? Yeah. Actually, the drink is more than the food. What? It's interesting. It's think about it. It's interesting. Do you ever see somebody go into a restaurant and sit down and say and order a drink, and then the wait staff comes and says, "Would you like another drink?" "Sure, I'll have another." "Not a big deal." "Sure, I'll have another." "Okay, fine, get you another one." But did you ever go into a restaurant or a bar and someone's sitting there and says, "Yeah, I'll have the chicken sandwich, lettuce, tomato, a mayonnaise, and fries on the side." "Sure." And then the wait person comes over and says, "Anything else?" "Yeah, I'll have another one." "Another what?" "I'll have another lunch. I'll have another chicken on the bread with lettuce, mayonnaise, tomato, and fries on." "You want another one?" "Yeah." What's so strange about that? You asked me if I want another drink, and I said sure, and you had no problem with that. But I asked for another chicken sandwich with fries on the side, you know, another order, and you say, "What? Are you serious?" Because no one does that. No one does that at all. No one does it. Yeah, I'll have the steak dinner, baked potato on the side. What do you have for vegetables? Zucchini today and mixed vegetables? No. Can I get a salad on the side? Sure. And how do you want that meat? How do you want steak? Medium rare, please. You got like, you know, some fried onions on? Sure. And what do you want on your baked potato? Oh, sour cream and some butter and some bacon bits. Okay. That'll be right out. And then you eat the whole dinner, and then the waiter comes over. Can I get you anything else? Yeah, I'll have another one. Another one. Another steak. This time, though, no sour cream on the baked potato. But yeah, I'll have a whole nother dinner. What? Nobody does that. But yet, another drink? Sure, fine, be right over. So it's odd. It's just odd. And you're saying, "Ron, because there's a big difference between you having another drink and you having a whole another dinner." Not price-wise, it's not. Price-wise, the drink was more expensive. I can afford a whole nother lunch. I can't afford another drink. It's just out of whack, baby. It's out of whack. Now, I know alcohol can get expensive, but I don't know why. You're distilling like mega gallons of this crap and pouring it in a bottle. Why are you charging me so much money to pour it into a glass for me? Oh, it's a lot of work. I have to walk all the way over there and get a glass. Then I got to put an ice cube in it. You have no idea how difficult that is. Those cubes are very elusive. Then I got to get the bottle, tip it upside down so that the liquid falls out because I know gravity. And I got to wait until, like, the pour is completed, which is at least 4 seconds. I got to bring the glass. I got to tool the glass all the way over to you, sitting all the way over there. That's expensive. Why is it so expensive? Are we running low on drinks? Drinks are very expensive. They come from Iran, and they come from the Southeastern Asia, the way they make the vodka. I can't. It's very expensive to get it here. Very expensive. It's like gold. It's like gold. No, nobody's making alcohol anymore. It's a very expensive. It's a commodity. It's impossible to get. Impossible. The price fluctuates every day. It's impossible to get vodka anymore. You look everywhere. You can't find vodka. It's impossible. It's very expensive now. And beer. No. Beer. I have arthritis. I can't get the screw top off there. It's very difficult. I have to call somebody over. You don't understand. You order a beer. It's a whole process. I have to get the bottle. I have to open a bottle. That's it. But that's a lot. That's more than I would do if you didn't order it. How about ordering something on tap? Oh, man. I got to get the glass. I got to put it under the nozzle. I got to pull the nozzle lever down. Oh, that's a lot of work. I can't. That was years of college. Years. 6 years of college. A master's degree in beer in a glass. Etiquette. You have no idea. No, I'm still paying my college tuition. I will for the rest of my life. So I need tips, baby. I secretly have... There are two things I wanted to do in life that I didn't do professionally. But I wanted to do them both, and they're very simple jobs. I wanted to be a bartender. Now, being a bartender is not simple. You got to juggle a lot of different things, especially when it gets crowded. It can be a very difficult job. I get that. I'm not trying to be stupid about this. That was a comedy routine. That didn't turn out to be all that funny. But bartender is a very hectic, very crazy job if there's more than one person that shows up. I get that. But I thought it was, for me, it would be great because it forces me to be social, and that's good therapy for me. The other thing I've always wanted to do was be in a rock band, to play music and have people just go crazy listening to me playing music with other band members. I don't want to do it by myself. It's too much of a responsibility. But I play keyboard, and I've always wanted to be in a band. And I did when I was, like, really young, like 2 years old. But I've always wanted to do that. The only problem with being in a band is you're playing with people that couldn't find jobs otherwise, usually. Very talented, but aren't living very extensively well. Band members, it's like the national economy. Either you're really poor or you're really rich. There's no middle class in band members. Either you're living with 10 other people who don't get up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon if they're lucky, who smoke pot all day and pretty much have no life whatsoever. Or you're one of those real popular people, you know, who are on TMZ all the time, and you have concert dates all over the country, and you're making $1 million every time you blow your nose, but that's not good either. So it's a crazy life, but I kind of thought it would be fun. But that's passed me by. Instead, I did radio. Well, okay, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I think you know that, but it's fun to reiterate sometimes, isn't it?
We asked Ron Van Dam how he thinks audience members should be treated.
Put them in a cage so we can gawk at them.
You know, sir, I like the way you think. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Actually, put him in a cage is the Trump administration's way of handling immigration. So I guess they got that wrong here. Someone got that wrong. All right, let's move on, shall we? Oh, gosh. Oh. I find myself stretching more than I usually do. And when apparently I'm yawning and I'm not knowing that I'm yawning because people start saying to me, all of a sudden they say, oh, don't yawn. You're making me feel tired. Why did I just yawn? I wasn't even aware of it. Yeah, you just yawned. You opened your mouth in some kind of strange, pathetic manner and you contorted your mouth muscles and you yawned like I'm keeping you awake or something. And I said, well, first of all, I didn't know that I was yawning. And second of all, you are keeping me awake. But no, I was not aware. That's just now a natural reaction that I have to life. Well, Ron, that's a problem. You should see a doctor. About what? About yawning? They don't have yawning doctors. No yawn specialists. Is that a sleep disorder? I'm not sleeping. So what's so? Why are you yawning? Don't you sleep well? Maybe. No, but even when I sleep well, I yawn. Either I'm overtired or I'm so used to sleeping that I'm still yawning all day. I don't know. It's involuntary. I did not volunteer to yawn. And I would apologize that I yawned in your face, but to be honest with you, I didn't know I was yawning. So what am I apologizing for? I didn't do it on purpose. It was not to make you feel horrible about yourself. There are other reasons that you should feel horrible about yourself, not because I yawned, but because you're pathetic. You're concerned. That's your problem. You're self-critical. You think because I'm yawning at you, that it means that you're not worth anything, that no one's listening to you? Wow, you've got like self-confidence problems. I would get that addressed immediately. You know who Gary Sinise is? I don't know either. I think he was in a couple of movies. The name sounds familiar. If they showed me a picture of him, I don't think I would recognize him. Unless he stole my car, I'd say, yeah, that's the guy. You know that's Gary Sinise? No, I didn't know that. Did you just yawn at me? Why? You just yawned. Oh, it's involuntary. All right. There's a foundation that Gary Sinise has put together, which is pretty cool. Let's speak to two of those representatives right now. Jessica Egerton joins us now, Edgerton, and she is Director of Brand Development at Cooper Tire and Rubber Company. And Elizabeth Fields joins us now. She's joined the Gary Sinise Foundation in August, and she's the Director of Development and all kinds of stuff she does as well. The Gary Sinise Foundation, tell me about this. I'm not familiar.
Well, thank you again for making the time today for us. We really appreciate it. So the Gary Sinise Foundation was founded by actor and philanthropist Gary Sinise. Mm-hmm. And we have our core mission is really to honor our nation's defenders. And we do this by honoring veterans, our first responders, and their families. We have four programmatic pillars and 12 initiatives within the four programmatic pillars. Our programs are RISE, mm-hmm. Community and Outreach, Relief and Resiliency, and First Responder Outreach. And to learn more about it, you can go to GarySiniseFoundation.org.
Okay. One might ask, what's the connection between tires, rubber, and the foundation?
Well, I will take that one, Ron. This
All right.
is Jess,
hey,
and
Jess.
Thank you again for having us on the show. I echo what Elizabeth said.
Mm-hmm.
And for us at Cooper, we really felt there was a common interest in honoring those we rely on, in this case, first responders. This week is National Public Service Recognition Week, which started in 1985, and it's a week dedicated to honoring public servants, including first responders, and this year it runs from May 5th to 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And first responders have to be counted on no matter the conditions or the emergency, and in turn they have to rely on their vehicles to get them to those in need.
Mm-hmm.
At Cooper, we make tires. Tires are the four things on your vehicle that are the only things to come into contact with the road, so they're very critical in your safety, in your mobility.
That's true.
So for us, during this week, providing this type of critical equipment was really a natural fit.
Yeah, I guess you can't respond if you can't get there. So that makes sense.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. When we say first responders, I think that's a little broader as far as encompassing different types of occupations. And one might think, first responders, you think of an ambulance immediately. But it's not that simple, is it?
No, this is Elizabeth. It isn't that simple. First responders are really any individual who mm-hmm. gets to an emergency situation first. So mm-hmm. obviously paramedics falls in that category. But our firefighters, our police officers
right.
are also individuals that fall in that category. So it's any individual, any hero, quite frankly, that goes to an emergency situation and is there and responding to the emergency firsthand.
Okay. And what is it the foundation recognizes, and what does it actually do as far as specific involvement?
Well, specific involvement for first responders, and it's a program that we actually really want to grow, but mm-hmm. we do a lot of grant reliefs, training, providing emergency equipment. We really focus on volunteer fire stations as well.
Mm-hmm. Which are dangerous jobs, and they're jobs where their lives are on the line for others. That's, I think, what makes them who they are.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and it's critical, and they're an important part of our community, and that's why Gary and the foundation are so mm-hmm. passionate about helping our nation defenders.
Very good. Okay. Did Gary have some kind of a personal experience or something? Like, why did he put his name on this? Why did he step forward, do you think?
Well, I can't speak for Gary specifically, but I can tell you that he's very passionate about our nation defenders. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of family who served in basically every war, going mm-hmm. back from World War I. And he's just seen what these individuals have done for our country and wants to give back.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, you know, we have foundations and holidays for all different kinds of people, mothers, fathers, flags. And yeah, this is like, you know, not that we should necessarily have a holiday for everything, but at the same time, we need recognition. I mean, I think the thank you is nice, but sometimes it doesn't go far enough as far as appreciation is concerned, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's wonderful to thank our first defenders, but anything that we can do to really step up and help them with their personal and professional needs and to thank them for what they're doing for our community, I would ask that, you know, individuals and your listeners go to GarySinisFoundation.org to donate or to learn more.
Good.
And, of course, we're going to encourage individuals to go to CooperTire.com to learn about their products as well.
Excellent. Yeah, they're definitely heroes and that kind of thing. I see newsreel footage of newsreel. It sounds like I'm 80 years old. I see footage of helicopters and plucking people out of homes where their entire neighborhoods are flooded and there are no streets left. And it's like, my God, this is just, right. you know, they're not movies. They're real things going on. And it's just,
right.
It's phenomenal. And I'm glad that Cooper Tire hooked up with this as well, because that is also a model of safety. So once again, where we go for more information?
For the foundation, you go to GarySinisFoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
And for Cooper, you can go to CooperTire.com.
Cool. Hey, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. There you go. There you have it. That's it. All right. This is fun. We should get together sometime. No, probably wouldn't work. I'm thinking that probably wouldn't work. It's probably not a great idea. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Yeah, I know. Did you just yawn? Did you just yawn at me? I take that so personally. I can't believe you did that. I'm not talking to you anymore. Well, actually, I am. I'll do it tomorrow. So until then, I wish you peace. Oh, man.